Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Beyond 90 podcast for 2024, episode 180. Eric Subihano here, along with Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots. At the time of recording, we haven't had two full days in this calendar year, but there's lots to talk about, some of it good and some of it... Well, we'll get to that later. But firstly, I should ask my co-host how their news have been. So going from left to right on my screen, starting with you, Emma. You were working?
I had a shift at my lovely retail job, which thankfully didn't have much going on because shockingly, people had better things to do. I wish they always had better things to do, but yeah, no, so nice and quiet for me. And then I watched the Jets play Adelaide. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good.
Went to hear. So Madge, so you've been traveling a lot over the holidays, was that continuing?
No, I didn't travel too much, but went up just up the road to Woodford for New Year's Eve, just for the day. So that's always a nice fun sort of hippie music and alcohol and good vibes to bring in the new year. So that was good fun. We didn't get too much rain, so it wasn't too muddy. And yeah, just been sort of relaxing and I think just lowering expectations for New Year's. I think we've all gotten to that point over the last few years. So just easing into a new year and just fingers crossed for better.
Yeah. Always good to hope for better. Dale, you told us pre-pod you had a large one. So please elaborate if you will.
Yeah, it's been a pretty big week, to be honest, since we came back. Spoke to you guys. But yeah, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, a mate of ours they're renovating their place up the road. So we had a little barbecue at the back of their place and enjoyed a lovely, I mean, it was, you know, a significant portion of a cow. So a big old piece of steak. And then the day after that, we went to a mate of ours for a Chilean carne asada, which was pretty damn good. Ooh. And yeah, other than that, it's just back to work now, unfortunately. I'm back to reality, as Eminem once said.
Ah, yes. That great American philosopher, Eminem. As for myself, I started New Year's Eve by an unexpected surprise. I got ID'd at the bottle shop.
Yes.
And I was absolutely thrilled, because at my age, it's almost an honor to be asked for ID.
You're Australian football's Benjamin Button.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that compliment any day of the week. Also, we'll get onto this game in a moment, but I was up at the Central Coast New Year's Eve ritual, so their home game, so a very entertaining game between them and Perth Glory with a couple of Sydney Uni current or former coaches in the technical areas. And yeah, so that was it. But let's get on to Matilda's cap, 180, Georgia Yeoman Dale. So 5 caps between 2012 and 2017. Her grassroots club was Majura in Capital Football. And in the pod notes, I put her position as defender / midfielder / forward. I could have just put it as on the field, basically. I've seen her play pretty much everywhere except goalkeeper. Now, of course, she's from Canberra and she's got Dale in her name. So, I mean, we're going to start this segment by going to Dale Roots. So, yeah, just Dale, if you will, your thoughts on Georgia.
Oh, cracking player. Kind of one of those players who, like, I feel really did more with her natural talent than what her natural talent allowed her. Like, she was obviously a very good, she's very quick. But I think that aged is a very harsh way of putting things, but as she grew into the league, she definitely learned that pace isn't everything. She used that pace to kind of to her advantage. I believe she still holds the record for most NPL New South Wales goals in a season with like 32.
I believe. I would be shocked if that was not the record. So,
which is like, I mean, yes, she was playing for a very good MacArthur Rams team at that stage, but still scoring more than a goal a game in a league that has typically been quite even, is quite astounding. And yeah, I mean, she started off young, and we were talking about this off mic, but she's still only 29. Mm-hmm. She retired a couple of years ago and now is, I believe, working as a pro. She has previously worked as a pundit on like the World Cup and things like that. So, yeah, definitely a good egg. Any time that I've dealt with her, she's been a joy to deal with. So, yeah, another great from the nation's capital.
Yes. And of course, Emma, thanks for telling me this pre-pod, but Georgia now in Canada with her child and her partner, Kate, who also a part of that legendary MacArthur Rams team from a few years ago, by the way, Kate Hainsman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I could open this up to Emma and Madge if you, as to either of you have any particularly strong feelings or memories of Georgia Yeomandale?
Mostly remember seeing her for Western Sydney Wanderers and thinking the same as Dale, that she was very quick. Because I think she was mostly, if I'm remembering right, used as a defender for Western Sydney. And that was, it's not what you usually look for in a defender, that they are very quick, but she was. But yeah, it was always good watching her play. She was always very quick and interesting to watch, the way that she would move the ball around. Yeah, but most recently saw her during the Canada series because she was doing some punditry for Channel 10. So yeah, it was good to see her insights as well.
Yeah, I mean, echoing everything that I think, I'm like Emma, I probably remember her most from Western Sydney, towards the end of her dub career. And yeah, she was always just one of those defenders that, you know, is always going to be a threat in attack as well, which is just such a lovely asset to have for any team. If you've got those sorts of players that can play all over the field and be versatile. And then, yeah, I guess probably, I know we've said this about a lot of players as we've gone through the Caps over the years, but just, yeah, it's, you know, sad that, you know, probably left the game earlier than we would like to see for such a talent. So I guess it's, you know, that's something that we want to see perhaps not happen as often in the future, but because, yeah, wonderful talent and fantastic for, you know, every team that she's played for.
She was also one of the first players, like after that kind of Matilda's golden era, for want of a word, age group, that went straight into punditry after playing. So like we had Sarah Walsh before she was with the FA, Joey Peters, and kind of Kate Gill as well. And then immediately after that, there was this big gap where there was probably 5 years where they were the only former Matildas or former dub players who were commentating and doing punditry. And for her to have stepped into that role is she had grown quite quickly into that role. I guess that kind of like laid the footworks for people like Grace Gill and Teresa Plyce, et cetera, who are now, and Riley Dobson, of course, who are now part of the punditry team and I guess as much an expected part of the commentary as any other commentator would be now.
Yeah, it's the interesting point about her having left football very early. Do wonder if, well, I mean, not, I don't really wonder, but the kind of thing why we want to professionalize the sport is so we don't lose players like this. And in fact, think of her, like three players from that 2018 MacArthur Rams team, Georgia Yeomandale, Kylie Ledbrook and Renee Rolison, I feel at least in part have left elite football early because of, you know, the lack of financial remuneration they had at the time. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Kylie Ledbrook was working as a shift manager at Macca's while she was playing for Western Sydney. So, and she was in her 30s at that stage. So, as you say, the more resources we have, the fewer of these players that we'll lose.
That's true. Still only 29. That was a shock when I found that out.
Yeah. 5 years younger than me, which is wild. Wild, to say the least.
Yes, yes.
Maybe I could still make it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Do they need any slow, overweight goalkeepers in the A-League men's? I'm available for a small nominal fee.
Yes. It's like, you know, don't ask for the minimum. Like maybe add 1,000 onto it and then.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a national second division. So hey, look, there's more opportunities than ever before.
Isn't that what we wanted to build? Build the national second division for men? Yeah. And the thing I was thinking of with Georgia about her versatility. So Dale mentioned her 32-goal season, which ended in the most ridiculous fairy tale manner possible with a 119th-minute winner in a grand final. Mm. And then 3 years later, she was part of a back three for RPL Icon. So yeah. She could absolutely do it all. Actually, I was the commentator for what turned out would end up being her last game. She retired very much on the sly. But Northern Tigers were just trying to test up his backline by pumping long balls in Georgie O'Middell's direction. And yeah. I pity the person who had to try and win repeated foot races with Georgie O'Middell. She lost every yeah. single one of them.
it's like trying to squeegee a pool that's full of water.
Yes.
It is a Sisyphean task if ever there was one.
Oh, yes. And so great to see her living her best life in Canada, her Kate and the baby. So, whatever turns her life takes next, we wish Georgia all the best. Also, I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel of my memories here, but I think she's in at least one version of FIFA 16 in the Matilda squad. I've definitely seen
it. Would make sense. There.
So, yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Another trailblazer in a very small sense. Now, let's delay this long enough. The hottest topic of the week, Alex Chidiak, back to Melbourne Victory. And yes, I and many other people were very pleased that Melbourne Victory used the song in the announcement. Yes, that song. The one that they used the last time Alex Chidiak signed for Melbourne Victory.
That we couldn't put on the Matildas Active Support playlist because you can't have explicit songs playing at pubs.
That's a shame.
Well, that's still just drawing. Boring, really, isn't that's, it?
I know.
Even in Queensland?
No.
I mean, come on.
Kids
up there come out of the womb, swearing. So
absolutely. It should be up. It's un-Australian, actually, not to have allowed us to put, those songs with explicit lyrics.
Completely agree.
On the playlist. Oh, well.
We'll get on to Victory's Victory Dave, it's not a debut, whatever it is, her first game in this current stint with Victory, what didn't go so well. We'll get to that later. But Chids has shown she doesn't need a whole season to win individual awards. So with Victory, let me look at the table. Fourth. There's plenty of chance for them to secure the top two spot and whatever that brings with it, the double chance. I don't understand the structure. I haven't looked at it yet, but you'd say this, it all goes well, we'd think Victory's going to make another final series.
Mm.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I think it's probably an expected move. And actually, just having seen that Jenny Hermoso has signed for Tigres. She was not put onto a contract with them, which I think some of their fans were, as dismayed as most Alex Chidiak fans are. But I think, being back in the Victory, it probably would have been hard for her to, even if she had sort of stayed in Mexico, to crack it in front of, someone like that coming into the team. So back in the A-League where she's been able to, show her quality and be allowed to play in where her best position is and where she can shine and where she can thrive. So hopefully we'll see some sparks from her from the rest of the season.
Yeah, so I suppose unless anyone has any particular Chid's thoughts to add, I mean, first things first, game time, please. Lots of it.
Yeah.
90-minute periods, please, Jeff.
The other thing that I really like about Chid's returning is the length of her contract. So she's back for the next 2.5 years, which is a really good sign.
That has to be one of the longest contracts in the A-League women.
Yeah.
Because I can think of a handful of players that had 2-year contracts. I think Melina Ayres signed a 2-year contract in Newcastle, but basically 3 seasons is really good business by Victory.
Huge.
As well.
Yeah.
And can net Victory a transfer fee?
It can. We love a transfer fee.
We do love transfer.
Unfortunately, we don't have transfers within the league, but that is another point.
Yeah, that's a discussion for another day. Might as well then go on to Western Sydney Wanderers 2, a Victory 0 at the venue dubbed the Rudy Hill Turf Farm, Wanderers Football Centre. Against expectations, I mean, I think most teams have these kinds of losses like a couple of times a season, especially must be tough being the interstate away team in this league, but the Wanderers, for all the correct outrage over the way Robbie Hooker came into the job, he does seem to know how to set up the team. So they were like bodies in the way defensively at the right time. And yes, I particularly like the second goal. Great ball from Holly Kaspers outside of the boot. And, you know, young Alexia Apostolakis's first goal. Lovely finish with Lydia Williams charging right at her. But yeah, just the Wanderers, they're still in the mix for finals. I mean, less than halfway through the season. So, I mean, there's still plenty of growth potential for them. I don't know if anyone else has anything to add. Victory, I mean, it'd be rare to see many more victory performances than that, I think. Yeah. So on to a game I know at least Dale and I were at. It was part of a doubleheader at a ridiculously muggy Allianz Stadium. Sydney won.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it was... Yeah, it was like, I imagine if Madge had been there with us, she'd have been judging us for our complaining. This is nothing, mate. Come up to Queensland. But it's tough for us, Madge. But
We were like record December heat wave with humidity this Christmas. So yeah,
we definitely didn't have record heat wave. It was uncomfortable, but we survived.
Yeah, we did survive, and yeah, but. A goal from Janeiro dos Santos, actually great header, beating a taller player to the ball off a really pinpoint Taylor Ray cross. Ooh, Wellington, they could have got something, especially they responded well to falling behind, so credit to them. I think that's something they did kind of struggle with in previous seasons, but there were chances after Sydney took
it. Yeah, I think Wellington can probably count themselves unlucky not to come away with anything from this game. Sydney only had three shots on target in this match. They only had 40% of the ball, and this kind of felt like, I mean, aside from the flashes of, there are a few flashes of brilliance from Wellington, and I must say Jada Wyman had a pretty good game to be honest. But this game felt like just a game that was kind of just happening. Like if this had have ended nil all, I don't think anybody would have really complained. But other than that, yes, it's a bit of a not one to write home about, put it that way. But as you said, Dos Santos's goal was a highlight, and I think that's her first goal in the league.
Correct.
Could be wrong. That's right. But yeah, other than that, good to see. I must say I was impressed by Shea Holman though. She did really well at the base of midfield. Other than that, it was a bit of much of a muchness, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, at least the fan experience is great. But Dale and I perused many outlets before and possibly during the game.
We did peruse some outlets. We found that they have a bar that pours its own drinks.
Robotic bartender. Yes,
robotic bartender that I had to get ID to go into, which was very, like, they ID'd everybody to go in. Very strange experience. But yeah, it was good to see. Saw the yellow little corner of yellow there.
Oh,
saw the
yes.
Knicks fans, right. Had a beer with them beforehand.
That's right. Oh,
and they were good value. So
they always are. That's right.
No hard feelings there.
Yes. Although I did try my best. I am known as the president of the Mackenzie Barry fan club. Not for that game. No. Wearing my Tomb of Sydney jersey and greatly annoyed Holly from little corner of yellow.
We did try to roll. Well, you guys did try to roll them up a bit, but like, I mean, they're Kiwis.
Nothing ever happens. But yes,
trying to disturbing a cup of jelly. Let's be really honest. They're not very reactive.
Holly then got even more annoyed because I brought one of my Mackenzie Barry jerseys. I told her, "Hey, look, Holly, I could wear this, but I'm not going to."
Yeah, could have got it signed.
Yeah, and then Mackenzie Barry's battle with Aideen King was absolutely box office. And also, I did enjoy Mackenzie barging Aideen out of the way, which is something I didn't think was possible. But there you go. That's why she's the Kiwi Maldini. And then back to outlets. After the game, I was thrilled to find out that at one of the Allianz Superstores, they do customization on the spot. And then I decided I had too much money in my bank account. And now I have Malone and Keane jerseys. So I'm very happy. But also, shout out to Bridie, who from Western Australia, who's been doing some stuff for us on Instagram over there, and she's over here for a holiday. And of course, she was over to watch Mariners versus Perth as well. So might as well get to that, the great, good old Central Coast New Year's Eve fixture. And Alex Park, well, with a little bit of luck, possibly, especially with the first goal, but another win. And Perth are keeping Melbourne City honest. Second place, 3 points behind. But that Perth opener is, it's unfortunate for a defender. I'm a big fan of Taron King, but a candidate for when playing it out of the back goes wrong, I suggest. Oh, actually, it already was. They clipped it up and ended the year with that. Great strike from Roller Bartawio to the Mariners, but that was a bit too little too late in Perth. I thought good value for the 3 points. Mm. Now, Emma, you watched the other New Year's Eve game, Newcastle Adelaide, and from the mini match, was watching the full match as chaotic as the mini match was?
I think the first half was pretty wild, just because Adelaide opened really, really quickly. Mm. Like, they just against them on a play, Dylan Holmes, like, she's not going to miss there when she's one-on-one with the keeper.
Yep.
but I really liked the Jets' goal in response that Libby Copus-Brown scored, just because the ball in from Lorena Baumann, the Swiss international, was stunning.
Mm.
It went right over, like, three or something. Yeah, I think three defenders, and landed, like, was just perfect. And then the second goal was Natasha Pryor, Copus-Brown, on the delivery of a corner. It looked like, from what I remember, Pryor, like, fell onto the ball and then, like, slammed it into the roof of the net, which was fun. And then, of course, everyone's favorite, Serena Bolden, comes through with the final goal of the game at the very start of the second half. It was watching it, I don't know if it was because of the camera, like, where they had the camera set at number two sports ground, but it did look like she was offside. Thankfully, I'm not a linesman, because she was onside. And that was the third goal. And of course, the Jets also got to celebrate Gemma Simon's 150th A-League women's appearance, which is really good stuff. It was pretty wild in the first half, because I wasn't really expecting Adelaide to do that. But they did. It was a good watch. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think possibly something for Adelaide to think about. Newcastle have a lot of speed, and there was lots of space for Newcastle attacking, like, you know, pretty much throughout the game. Also, Emma Dundas, really impressive. The latest youngster off the emerging Jets production line. But that's on a tangent. We'll have to see women in commentary. I think two games for Taron Hedo, which is the Canberra Western United and this one, Jets versus Adelaide. And then Grace Gill doing a solo call of Mariners versus Perth. So she's, at least I'd like to think she had a bit more notice than the first time she did. she did a game by herself. But more great stuff all around.
Gemma Simon, the sixth dub player to reach 150 appearances, which is pretty impressive, to be honest, considering how, I mean, I think Riley Dobson mentioned this in comms, but when all the first seasons were only 8 and 10 games, making 150 appearances in that is, I mean, if she was playing in a full length season, she'd have probably 400 appearances by now, but she would also probably have fallen apart. So, but obviously one of Newcastle's great stalwarts.
Yep, definitely. I mean, just right up there in the pantheon of Jets legends. But I mentioned this. Now it's time to go to Adele's people down in the nation's capital. Canberra 1, Western United 1. We didn't end up getting another Michelle Heyman goal. It's an Alana Cherner own goal. At least that's what the match center says. So, we want the Heyman century dub goals, but I suppose we can't just do another charity.
Question about when she hits the 100, I hope it's at McKellar. Are people going to storm the field?
Well, if there's any venue where it's going to happen, it'll be there, and there will be fireworks, you hope. You hope that people have brought their own pyrotechnics.
Oh, yeah, because it's Canberra. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't need to be organised by the club.
Exactly. I hope so. I feel like MacKellar Park is a much more docile venue than most, as Canberra is a much more docile place.
Very docile place.
I don't know. Maybe if she gets 99 goals and then, I don't know, they have some kind of promotion on, like at the bar or at the ground or something. I don't know. But yeah, you would hope so. I mean, reminiscent of obviously when Buddy kicked the record goal last year in the AFL. All that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that we want to see. Unfortunately, the only like 1,500 people on the pitch would be kind of like, it's not exactly like a full kick to kick itch situation. It's just probably going to be like 50 people that are then being escorted away. But yeah, I hope so. Do they have a, like, maybe they should have, you know how the Mariners have the cannon? Maybe they should have a gavel when Canberra scores. A big gavel. Or they should just have the speaker. They should have a speaker.
Yeah, what's the thing that
and it says the order.
The whip comes in there, whip, yeah, knocking the whip on the door, whatever it is that they do.
We need one of those. Yeah. This game, though, I think Canberra were lucky to get away with a draw, to be honest. I mean, Western had three or four opportunities. Like Hannah Keane missing that effectively open side of the goal in the second half, which was... It was tough because Canberra play a very defensive, like a very V defense, tend to pack the center of the box, in set plays. But she'll be dreaming about that miss, unfortunately. But yeah, Alana Chern had that that own goal in the first half, which is rough. There's not much she could have done about that, to be honest. But yeah, and then for Toronto to score the second goal. In the second half, I think it was a better performance from Canberra, definitely. They definitely offered a little bit more. They're still looking for final product, which is, I think, the most frustrating thing. There's real flashes of brilliance, especially when you see players like Grove getting down the wing, and like the play that they scored off, where Grove got to Flannery, played Grove in down the wing, and then played it into the middle. Like, you see those flashes of brilliance and you think, oh, there's real potential here, but it's just the kind of glue between the mortar between the bricks isn't there just yet. But again, we're still only halfway through the season. They're the bottom of the ladder at the moment. I think that this is a bit of a wash in terms of making the finals, but I think that they can make a lot of teams' seasons a little bit more awkward than they would like at this stage. For Western, though, probably just be disappointed to drop 2 points, really. Probably had this one for the taking and they just couldn't grasp it. But I'm still impressed with Kat Smith, as you know, in early days. Obviously, it takes time to change to bring in your own style and things like that. So, you know, plenty of time for them.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much muscle memory the Canberra United fans had late in the game when Grace Ma got absolutely demolished by Sophia Christopherson.
Yeah.
Grace Ma, a Canberra fave. Canberra legend, but playing for the opposition. I wonder if they still got upset by it, because I would have been.
I don't think they would have. I think they would have been happy to say that. Yes. Because she's dead to us now. When she comes back. You know, you made this bed and now we're going to...
You don't cross the floor and
tackle you into it. Yes, you can't cross the floor. Exactly.
Oh, exactly. This seat.
Yeah. Long may there be more tackles. I hope Laura Hughes gets absolutely demolished when she plays there as well.
I mean, do that if you want, but it doesn't seem like a sound idea. I mean,
no.
Laura Hughes going to rip someone's jersey clean off their torso.
Who am I thinking of? We definitely lack a little bit of midfield muscle, but I'm sure that Miller Vojvic can, you know, go through a tractor through a snowbank. But I look forward to that. I don't know if we play. I don't know if Canberra play City at home here for a few weeks at least. But anyway, not the point.
I'm both. I if you ever coach a team, Dale, I'm both horrified and excited by the prospect, given
crazy gang behavior. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's going to be like that.
Yeah, so I mean,
anointing your John Fashanu and your Vinnie Jones.
Friend of the far post, Tom Bell, coaches the Melbourne Uni women's team, and I like to think that I would be a little less docile than he is, because my understanding is that he's a very calming influence on that team, but I feel like I would be the whatever the opposite of that is. Anyway, speaking of Melbourne.
Oh, dear. Right, time for me to restore some composure. Let's look at the next week in dub fixtures. Firstly, one that if I publish this podcast quickly enough, you might be watching this, whether at Leichhardt Oval or on Paramount, because Wednesday, 3rd of January, Sydney versus Canberra at Leichhardt Oval. I think I plan to be there. I think, Dale, do you plan to be there as well?
Most likely. It depends on work, yeah. But yeah, most likely. I think that's 7 o'clock kickoff at the 800 of the world.
It is. And yeah, so tricky one. Well, short turnaround for both teams, but yeah, I can't see anything other than a Sydney victory. Apologies to and all the other Canberra fans.
I think if Canberra keep this respectable, then I'll be happy. I think Chloe Lincoln had a really good game against Western. I think this is a good measure for her going forward. Like, Sydney have a very, very good attack. They were kind of blunted against Wellington, but I'll be really interested to see how this defense stacks up. But like, with Ilioski playing in the middle, against, you know, playing against 18 Keane, it does not give me good vibes. But
yeah,
if they can keep it to under 3, then I think I'll be happy.
Ilioski plays in central midfield against Sydney, and then you just have all the teenagers in central midfield.
I think that they need to be like putting shoulder pads on the defenders in this game, because we are giving away a little bit in height and breadth, unfortunately.
So and then of course, going the other way, I don't know who the left winger is, but Canberra left winger is, but good luck against Tori Tumuth. You will need it. I think, well, so while Dale and I have chatted all things Canberra, the other two have sat patiently. So, Madge, I mean, Brisbane Wellington. Yes, thank you for your patience as always. But any strong feelings coming out of that one?
Oh, look, I mean, I guess I just keep hoping that Brisbane keep getting better, and like there's been signs of life the last couple of games. But yeah, Wellington have been playing really well as well. So actually what just a general thought that I've had just from the last round and even now, like I do actually really love that no game is, I think, a given for any team this season. I quite like that. I feel like this season, it feels like there's been more parity than we've had maybe in a long time. I feel like, yeah, any team, like looking at, you know, Perth Wanderers, Perth, you know, going great guns, but Wanderers have been playing really well and playing really solid. So I kind of feel the same about Brisbane. It's like, will this be the game that Brisbane can start to click just that little bit more? And you know, I mean, Wellington would go in favourites, I think, but based on recent form. But yeah, I'm forever hopeful. But yeah, interesting matchups there, like Victory, Western United.
Ooh,
that's
very interesting.
Yeah, both sort of like Victory coming off a really disappointing performance. Western United again, yet not taking advantage of their chances in the last round. So that one, could be a nice a spicy local derby there as well. So yeah, it's some interesting games, and I think a lot of teams will be wanting to set like a positive tone for the second half of the season.
Emily, do you have plans to go to home of the Matildas for Victory versus Western?
I am going to be there for that. I think it will be a very interesting game. It usually is between those two for some reason. I feel like it goes a bit harder than like City against Western for some reason. I don't know why, but
ex-Victory players?
Yeah, it should be.
Ex-Victory coach, by the way. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean that wouldn't help. But I think it'll be good. I haven't been to the home of Matildas since the squad announcement for the Women's World Cup. So it'll be nice to go back to see, because it was just being fully finished when that happened. So it'll be nice to see what it looks like completely done. So.
Yeah, and yeah, to Madge's point, I can't pick that one. Anything could happen in that game, scoreboard-wise.
Yeah, I'm not going to try.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing that I'm looking at is, like, Newcastle have been ticking along quite nicely. Like, yeah. They got that little bump from the Emily Van Egmond guest stint. Canberra coming off the midweek short turnaround. You know, they could really set themselves up quite nicely to make a decent run at finals. So I think that's one that Newcastle, you would think, would be, you know, gunning hard for to set themselves up well.
Right. Yes.
And I think that also Canberra will have traveled twice in 4 days, most likely. Yeah, I wonder whether they would have gone back
to Newcastle.
Yeah, I wonder whether they'd go back.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Like Sydney the first...
FC screwing up other teams' travel schedule.
Well, if only there was a round where all of the teams are in one city in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yes, just to ease everyone's travel. Parity. That's what we're saying.
Funnily enough, like, I just had a look at Wellington's run in. Wellington only have, I think, two more home games. They have three more home games, I think, for the rest of the season. So, no, four more home games for the rest of the season. So, they front-loaded their schedule.
Oh, interesting.
They play Brisbane away. They have Wellington at they have Central Coast at Leichhardt. Then they play Melbourne City away. And then the next game in New Zealand isn't until the 28th of this month in Porirua. So, yeah, they're going to be cranking the frequent flyer miles. So I think that as well, they would have flown home this week after the Friday game. So if I was a Brisbane supporter, I would definitely, as you were saying, Madge, I would count my chances for this one, because I think that they might be on for a bit of an upset.
And
take that with a grain of salt.
Oh yes,
this is not financial advice.
No. Also, yeah, good point about Canberra travelling twice in a week, Dale. Also, shout out to any Canberra fan who does likewise. And by that, I mean Stefan, because I think that's what he's planning to do. So, well done to you, Stefan, in advance, especially.
Yeah.
I might even buy him a drink or two in person if I see him at both games.
I was going to say, like, at least when Canberra play in Sydney, you can just catch the Murray's bus up and you can work on the bus.
Yeah.
That's the only positive.
Yeah. Is there any strong feelings about the others? We've got Adelaide, other games coming up this weekend. Adelaide, Melbourne City on Saturday, and then the two Sunday games we haven't spoken about. Mariners versus Sydney and Perth versus Wanderers. Oh, look, in this tight schedule, Madge, Sydney's away trip is up the freeway to Gosford.
Yeah. It's a 45-minute drive to Gosford.
That's tough.
They're always doing it tough. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sydney have actually been mandated that they have to catch the train and walk from Gosford Station.
Yes, this is like if we're going to competition.
12 minutes from Gosford Station.
Yeah.
I think Adelaide City is going to be a prickly one. I'm really looking forward to Central Coast Sydney. Those games traditionally have been really good, and I think Central Coast are sneaky for a win there.
Mm.
No fireworks this week, unfortunately.
Perhaps. But also, yes, and I'm stealing an idea from friend of the pod, Nick Ames, but Roller Barterby has played for both clubs, therefore I dub Mariners versus Sydney the Roller Derby.
The Roller Derby, very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Oh, glad. And then,
disgraceful behaviour.
Yes, and if you want to hear more terrible behaviour from me, well, the NPL season starts in 6 weeks, so
yeah.
I will be polluting the airwaves with that once again. Let's see. So we'll change tack and look at something foreign. I don't know what thoughts people had on this, but Soccer Donna, the good folk there, published women's football club attendances or average attendances for the 23 calendar year. So it's Emma's beloved Arsenal first, and then Daylight fills out the rest of the top 10. But more seriously, Manchester United second, Barcelona third, and well done to Bristol City being fourth ahead of Chelsea, ahead of Werder Bremen, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, PSG and then Tottenham round out the top 10. But I think, of course, I'm going to throw to Emma, but yeah, like Arsenal really showing what can be done with marketing. Who would have thought?
Yeah. I think their fan engagement has been really, really good. I think it's been building over the past couple of seasons as well. Like, it's not just something that's just kind of happened magically. They've clearly been working on this and building on this. And yeah, it's been really, it's really nice to see and to hear that Arsenal are pulling these numbers. Yeah, hopefully it continues. And I know also the fans themselves have done a lot of work in this sort of space and getting more people interested and like going to pubs before games and doing the like team, like the fan marches and stuff. So it's really good. I love to see it. I really do.
Yeah, just
Arsenal, pretty incredible.
31,225
average attendance. That is
like it's that's
13,000.
Yeah, that puts them as probably the most attended women's football club in the world. There aren't any teams in the US that have that kind of, even Portland don't have that level of consistent attendances.
No.
And even Man United at 13.5, like that's really quite something. Looks like I'm just having a quick look here. Bristol City, Chelsea, Liverpool, West Ham and Everton at the bottom of the table, but they do play in much, much, much smaller venues.
Oh,
but
Walthamhall Park, not many.
Yeah, Walthamhall Park is, you know, four people on lounge chairs. I mean, but still, as you're saying, Emma, like the whole thing with Arsenal this season and last season specifically, but this season really is that they have kind of pushed on with that real one club mentality. There's always stories of like Arteta and the men's players going to the games and vice versa, which I think is super impressive. And I think the more that you can do that kind of thing, then the better the club experience is. And they share facilities as well, which again is really important.
Yeah.
But it's not just one club by just doing what the men do either. So it is that leaning into the Arsenal, like that fan group in particular, and leading what the women's fans want, not just copying or providing exactly the same experience as they provide for the men and expecting that to work. They put the work into marketing their women's team as its own product as well. So I think the two go hand in hand, and I think that's probably where, particularly here in Australia, we've missed a trick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenal's, even last season, Arsenal's average attendance was 17,500, which was greater than the next two clubs combined in the two Manchester clubs, which, I mean, like obviously there's been a bit of a bump since the Euros and since the World Cup.
But yeah.
Still, like 17,000 is really impressive, and then to have bumped that up, they've almost doubled that average attendance is quite something. Still the only English women's club to have won the Champions League, so you know they're obviously doing something right. Good trivia fact that.
I think also the other thing is like Chelsea. I think it was got some pretty, I think, legitimate scathing criticism when they went to Stamford Bridge, but then
Captain at 5,000, they only opened one.
I mean, that's the sort of decisions that I think Arsenal haven't made. So that just seemed really odd. Given that they've done that, which I do just find that mind boggling, because I think they have been building, you know, and that King's Meadow, it's a great venue for the smaller size crowds. It seems like it creates a wonderful atmosphere. But yes, when you go to Stamford Bridge, like, make it a big deal. And so it's odd that they haven't gone all in the same way.
Well, they also spent £1.5 billion on players and only want to open one side of the venue. It's just completely baffling from a financial point of view.
Yep.
Yeah. Now seeing this alone makes me hope that Bristol City stay up, because them averaging 8,800 is incredible.
Do you know what else there is to do in Bristol? Do you know of anything else there is to do in Bristol other than go to the football? Nothing.
I was going to say Bristol Rovers, but you said football, so they don't count.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, not much.
Yes,
I'm sure that the fine townsfolk of Bristol will ride in their droves, yes. as they get connected to the internet for the first time. But yes, I hope that they, as you say, it'd be good. Like, I mean, we had, you know, friend of the pod, Chris Carulli, who was hanging out in Leicester for his FIFA Masters accreditation, and yeah, he was at the King Power, and the crowds there always look good. I know they're much smaller, but you know, it's good to see it on the up and up, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, like Arsenal setting the standard. Let's hope all the clubs follow them. Now, the segment, I've delayed this long enough, but it's January 2nd and it's the day after some ridiculous news came out because the APL couldn't even go one day into 2024 without disappointing us. In case you haven't heard the story, the A-League men's table at the end of 2023 had Melbourne Victory top ahead with Wellington Phoenix Men in second because of better goal difference. And this seems sensible to everyone, but yeah. A Wellington Phoenix fan had read the competition regulations and he had noted that at some point during the offseason, the regulations are changed. Goal difference now is not the first tiebreaker when two teams are level on points. It is now number of wins. Wellington have more wins than Victory, so therefore Wellington Phoenix Men should be top of the league, and that was rectified. Shout out also to Justin Tickner. Oh, that, by the way, and they do what he does wonderful work with the Ultimate A-League platform.
A-League.
He's done some proper investigative journalism, found out that the screenshot from that Wellington fan at Kaiser Chiefy is correct. So that forced a big scramble from the A-League's digital team to update the table so that it was in accordance with their own rules. Of course, the relevance to, of course, same competition regs for A-League women. This is why we're discussing this. And yes, there was a press release today as of the time of recording that nobody believes in terms of clubs being told about this, because there was a Wanderers versus MacArthur A-League men's presser where neither of those coaches knew about it. So yes, but although the clubs don't appear to have been told, the fans weren't told, but I suppose there is a silver lining to this ridiculously, unnecessarily dark cloud. Sports Interactive, the makers of the Football Manager series
Football Manager.
Games, they were told because they're...
Well, that's important.
Yes. So while Taryn Heddo, commentator and Football Manager player extraordinaire, that's good for her and the other Football Manager players, what about the rest of us? I don't know. Just...
go on, Madge. Sorry,
I was just gonna say my first thought is why would you take away the possibility? It doesn't always happen, but the possibility for the last round of the season just to be chaotic and just to have hope and this type of thing, like tying the first tiebreaker to wins, just makes that that possibility is so much more blunt. The idea that going into the last round, it's like, oh, if we can beat them by 5 goals, we've still got a chance. And if that result goes the right way, it's just so much more interesting. And it just engenders more attacking football, what the fans want to see, what we want as a product. I don't understand why.
My thing with this is like, I think that this is the worst outcome in terms of tiebreakers, because as you were saying, Madge, like goal difference is pretty much universal in terms of leagues, but I guess the only other way that this could have been done would have been like aggregate scores
head
between
to head
the two teams. Yeah,
which
head
is what
to head
they do in
results.
Spain, I think.
Yeah, which they do in like the Women's Champions League, I'm pretty sure. They did in the, I think they did in the Women's Asian Cup, which I think would be, which is the next best thing, because then it means that like every game is worth, every win is worth more against every team, for want of a word. But for them to have, one day, I just want to get up and not read the news and be embarrassed. It reminds me of Grandpa Simpson at the door when he's like, can't you go one day without embarrassing yourself? And the A-League's pants just fall down.
Yes.
That's the vibe.
And I mean, the why, and Dale, you'll probably know off the top of your head, like, what does League do?
League has points differential.
All right, so that's, but then
so that's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, all right, so it's not even like there's some weirdo at APL who's just gone, well, I don't understand this.
Is there AFL are percentages? At APL, but that's, which is...
Yeah, AFL is percentages, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
I personally would like the APL to lower my my casket into the grave when I die, so they can let me down just once more.
Yeah, I'm gonna be buried in a paper mache casket of the rules that have changed across the period that the A Leagues have existed.
That's my contribution to this.
What a cooked timeline.
What, just like I was saying pre-pod, there's that meme, which we found out, thank you Dale, is from the Babadook, where the mother is like looking into the back seat of the car and she's like yelling and she's like, why can't you be normal? And the child is in the back seat screaming, and we're all the mother. Yeah. And the child screaming is the A-Leagues.
Yes.
What? Just one day, please.
Yeah.
One. Just one day of being a normal league, please. I'm not a crackpot.
Yeah. So after a year in which we all watched a Western United home grand final against Sydney in Sydney, and with Unite Round, the great compromise from that ridiculous decision to move all grand finals to Sydney, on the horizon. Oh, by the way, that's right. Wellington lost a home game because of that.
Yep.
By the way, to
I did mention that. Point. Yeah.
But yeah, just
the only silver lining to this, victory fans not being happy in the men's.
Cheryl immediately deleting this as she listens to the podcast.
It didn't affect the A-League women. But that was the only funny part about it.
Yeah.
Victory, you know, thinking they were top of the table.
I'm back on board, actually. I think that they should be the only club that this applies to.
Yes, that's right.
I do love seeing Victory fans upset. So. Mm.
Well, look at that. We've come around at the end. Madge, just seeing the silver lining in everything. Well, I mean, in terms of chaotic final days, well, if two teams are on the same number of points, it's a reasonable chance they have the same number of wins. So we might yet see our goal difference.
I guess it just... Yeah, it makes it just a little less fun.
Yeah, a little, that's...
Agreed.
That's right. So, why can't you be normal is the pod title?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. I love it when we resolve this during the recording. Now, because it's the first pod of 2024, I floated the idea, which you all agreed to. Just our New Year's resolutions. I don't know what my co-hosts are going to say, because I left it pretty open-ended. This could be your own resolution, or you could be making one on behalf of a team, a player, or some other entity. A league, perhaps. If any of you know any leagues that could do with some work. But yeah, this is could be as wholesome or as snarky as you all want. So who wants to go first?
I'll go. My New Year's resolution is that we keep this gravy train rolling for the Tillies. We've got the game coming up at the end of next month against Uzbekistan. And there's going to be 50,000 at that. Keep the sponsorships coming in, keep the funding up, and kind of set us up for the next little while. I think that's the biggest goal outside, like off pitch. But on the pitch, I think we have to medal this year. If we don't medal, I think we need to be really looking at ourselves, because I think we've got the team to do it this time around. We know what it takes to get to the semis in two successive tournaments, and now I think we have to go one better. We have to medal.
Nice, very nice.
I'll go. I guess mine is kind of similar to keeping the gravy train going, but more from like a fan perspective. And I just really hope that all the new fans that are coming to the sport and to especially at the A-Leagues level, that we can really get into building a culture and a fandom that isn't just about like franchisee going, looking at the spectacle and going away again. Let's like, you know, it would be really great to really build like what Little Corner of Yellow have been doing, like those pre-game meetups. What I really hope that we can, you know, get experience a little bit during the Unite round. I think, you know, Matilda's active. We're going to try and like get a bit of a get together maybe on the Saturday and like, you know, start building real connections that, you know, aren't superficial and it's more than just the marketing blitz of the maybe event going crowd. Let's convert event goers to diehard fans who sort of care about their local clubs. That's what I would love to see.
Now, this will be, I'll have to slow this down. Sorry, just I type this up because I will forget this. But yeah, Emma, do you have what's your news resolution?
Well, mine is completely different to both the ones that have already been shared. It's actually my own New Year's resolution, which is to go to more football games. And that's the whole thing.
Nice and simple. Simplest answer is often the best answer. I also have a personal one. I think lots of listeners would know I work in football, so I work for Manly United and Manly Warringah Football Association, the local people that run football in the Northern Beaches in Sydney, and I would like to tell more storytelling around all the various volunteers that, you know, make football run at a grassroots level, particularly the women, because we have two women that are club presidents up here, and I've been, hopefully all things going well, I should be able to tell the stories of them and so many other people this year. I have a second New Year's resolution. So last year I received 4 official complaints as a commentator for Football New South Wales. And of course that's completely ridiculous. So this year I'm aiming for 10 official complaints. Hopefully if we go back to Facebook streaming and with comments on the stream, that is where I can do a lot of damage and ruffle some feathers while I'm calling NPL.
That's all we want to say.
Football New South Wales League games.
Yes.
Apologies to friend of the pod, Megan, who, when I said this, like looked at me like I was a complete idiot, although she was right to do so.
Yeah.
She was absolutely right to do so.
Maybe she'll be one of those just the extra commenters that will push you to your goal.
Yes.
Put her on the case.
I mean, Facebook comments, I could get this done by the 1st of April, really.
Yeah.
The season only starts on the 16th of February. Oh, dear. Sorry, I had to lower the tone there. Let's lift things back up with everyone's favorite segment, Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week. So, Dale, you can go first here.
My Queens of the Week are the Zinsbergers of Arsenal goalkeeping fame. They are expecting a baby. Manuela and Madalena is her partner's name, is my understanding. But yeah, baby Arsenal player coming to a world near you soon.
Nice and stuff. We love Woso babies. So, Emma, I think yours is in the same broad area in terms of love being the thing that conquers all.
Similar vein. Yeah, my Queens of the Week are our very own Ellie Carpenter and her partner Danielle van der Donk getting engaged, which they announced just recently. There was technically a spoiler announcement beforehand because Ellie's earlier Instagram post did show her wearing an engagement ring. But yeah, congratulations to them. I hope the wedding will be as fancy as Ellie's new tastes are, being a Parisian gal. Yeah, but congratulations to them.
Yes. And if there are any kids in the future, may they play for the Matildas and not the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Sorry, Simon. Although I don't think he would actually care.
Don't apologize. No, they need to be.
They need to be Australian.
Only Matildas.
Yes. Oh, by the way, along these lines, yes, Harley Yallop. No New Zealand. Yes. No. No.
Yeah.
No. Madge.
Only green and gold.
Yes, only green and gold. Yes. Madge, yours, I mean, pretty popular person, yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a big shout out to Kate Jakowitz for referee, the first referee to hit 100 A-League women's matches in charge, of course, including the old W League. She's one of those refs that whenever, so as a Raw fan, you see that she's in the centre of the field, is like, oh, yay, we've got Kate. Such a, you know, a solid and respected ref in the game in Australia. And, yeah, so to get to hit that 100-game mark, yeah, amazing performance from her.
Yep, I'm just looking for it. So I wonder, I think it was the A-Leagues that posted out a photo of what Kate's hair looked like.
Yes, very interesting.
Quite different to now. So
you
I
know what?
I'm going to change what's embedded. That's what I'm embedding.
The 2000s were an interesting time.
Oh, yeah. On a tangent, there was one of the W League preseason launches with a player from each team where they were wearing all the makeup in the world. Was it Melissa Barbier? Someone said, I know who these players are and I still don't recognize them, which is great.
Grace Gill was in that photo.
Yes, she was.
Yes, yeah.
But yes.
You know what? It was just a precursor to AI art.
Yeah.
imagine you typed in player from each team jumping through the air, heading balls into an AI art machine, and that is what would come out in that photo.
It both looks like it doesn't look like Grace Gill. I don't know what's happening. Yes, I'll change that poster right after we stop recording. And by the way, you had a joker, which is what we talked about earlier, just the APL for changing crucial things about the leagues and not telling any of the stakeholders. Except
communication is important, folks.
Yes, communication important. I have communications in my job title, and I even I know this is silly, but my choices for Queens of the Week is Ali Riley, Rhea Percival, and Joanna Wood, all named in New Zealand's New Year's Honours list for services to football in New Zealand. So Ali Riley, of course, made the decision when she was a teenager she grew up in California, decided she wanted to play for New Zealand, and 150 caps later, she's served New Zealand very well, as have Rhea and Joanna. So that's well done to those three. And I think that's it, unless I haven't missed anything. Okay, so that's one pod without me missing something crucial, like results of games. Don't expect me to start a streak. But for now, this is Eric Sabihano signing off for episode 180 of the Beyond 90 podcast. And on behalf of Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots, wishing you plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, Razzlers, and may you fulfill your New Year's resolutions. See you next week.